Bra shopping is a drag, but what if you could skip all the hassle and find a perfect-fitting bra in minutes? Check out Third Love. Their Fit Finder quiz recommends the bra that's right for your size and shape. Now you can try one of their bras free for 30 days. Just pay $2.99 for shipping. If you go to thirdlove.com/HTBLO, you can find your perfect-fitting bra and try it free for 30 days. thirdlove.com/HTBLO. I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang.
And we're too damn young to be this damn confused.
I thought MCM was a new party drug.
I thought taking an L was a sex position.
Isn't Salt Bay a town on Long Island?
We don't know,
but we do care.
So we're talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
We are doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you.
Because let's face it,
you want to be less old too.
How to be less old!
Hi, Emily.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, feeling great. Feeling good.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I tell you I went to the VMAs, Emily?
I did see that. I did see it.
Can you believe?
What it was? It looked magical.
It wasn't. But but I did get my eyes on some youths.
On some people.
On some people. Like, I was said to my husband, we are literally single-handedly bringing up the mean age of the gathering here.
And how you wore a beautiful, flowy floral dress.
I just wore, I mean, I got that. A friend of mine works, she does PR. She works for Island Records. So she was there for Shawn Mendes. Last minute she texted us like, hey, do you guys want to go? So I was in no position to be finding an outfit. You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing in my closet that is VMA.
I wouldn't even know what
exactly.
To VMA.
Exactly. I was like, I'm just going to wear something comfortable because we're going to be in the boondock seats and just chill, you know? I was very happy with my choice when I got there, by the way. Yeah, I felt great because, like, people were doing a lot.
Well, yeah, I'm exhausted trying to think about VMA couture.
It was out of 10. The biggest takeaways in terms of looks, I saw a lot of the strobe highlight that we hear, you know, I've seen in pictures, but to see it in the wild, in the daylight, because people are coming in like 4 or 5, you have to be in by 5. So 4:30, I'm outside. It's too bright.
And where are we seeing it on the cheeks and the nose and the
major apples of the cheeks. Just, mm-hmm. And I like, full disclosure, I use a Benefit highlighter that's liquid that I tap into my face. Couple drops. It's a light highlighter.
I do an under eye sometimes.
Great.
Yeah.
This is not that. This is a flaming, it's just a streak of highlight at the cheek. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the daytime, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Then there was a lot of contour, a lot of just dark contouring on the face. This is something I saw that I was really upset by, and I don't know what to do about it, but like, there were girls who had – and I get the instinct. They were wearing these, like, cute dresses that had no back, right?
Sounds lovely.
Cute.
Yeah.
But they weren't wearing any kind of sticky bra or any kind of brassiere.
So they're just hanging in the
dress? They were hanging, girl.
Like, nipples, too. A lot of nipple.
Just not a pleasant – if you're not Kate Hudson with a small, aggressive – at attention, perky breastises, like it's just not going to work out for you, you know? So I don't know what to do about that, but
it feels like a lot of skin on skin hang.
It was skin on skin
hang.
And you saw everything.
No, I don't like it.
It didn't work out. Yeah. I know there's some sort of apparatus you can put underneath that's
a ta-ta towel.
At the very least, a ta-ta towel. A hashtag ta-ta towel.
No, yeah, they have the little sticky cutlets.
Yeah, we needed those.
Or something.
So that was tough.
Yeah.
But the overall takeaway, like, the show was medium. Katy Perry is no good.
IRL.
Rotten in this role of host.
Oh, she hosted.
Girl.
It was bad.
The writing, well, and I have to, the writing bad. Was, I mean, painful, tough.
Wow.
I left and I said to Wing, I was like, I am cooler than Katy Perry.
Okay.
And that I can say confidently, and I can say it with strength. I'm cooler than her.
You know, and let's just take a breath with that because that feels right.
Ah, I thought you were going to be like, relax.
No.
It is right.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels right.
She's not okay. She's not cool. She's more middle-aged than middle-aged people. She's a middle-aged lady.
I believe it.
Trying to be cool. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But we have a great guest in today. So that part is not tough. What I didn't see, and maybe it was just not enough to see, but I didn't see glitter tongues, but that could be because people weren't showing me them. But we do want to talk about glitter tongues today.
I feel like my question about glitter tongues, is that just a staging for the gram? Or are you actually out in the wild with it? I don't know.
We'll ask our youth and see what he feels.
That's correct.
If he has any feelings on glitter tongues.
Speaking of our youth,
today
we've got comedian and content creator Brandon Rogers coming in. Brandon stars in a series he created.
I like that.
Magic Funhouse. It's on Full Screen. It's in its second season. He plays Arlo, who is the director of the Funhouse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like a Pee-wee's Playhouse feel.
Unlike crack cocaine.
Yeah. A little bit of crack, which is good.
Which is fun.
I mean, don't do crack, but it's so much fun.
Yeah. No, it is. It kind of has that, like, throwback Pee-wee's – which Funhouse or what was it? Pee-wee's
Playhouse.
Yeah. Which was kind of a – it was just a great show. So I feel like we haven't seen anything like that in quite some time, which is super cool. And I wonder if he – we had a listener at I Can See Me Now – See Me – said at HTBLO, can you explain Shut Up Carol? What does it mean?
And I don't know.
Don't know.
And we're hoping Brandon does.
He may.
Let's get his tchotchkes in here.
Okay, great.
How to be less old!
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Brandon!
Rogers in the his.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good.
Well, Brandon, we haven't met you before.
Yes.
We're so excited to have you. We're going to ask you a couple little cues just to get to know you.
All right.
And we'll go from there.
Okay. Sounds good.
Best new media content creator, in your humble opinion?
You know... New media. So this is just digital media on the internet. You can't find it on TV. This is internet. Okay. I have to go with a friend of mine on the internet. His name is Mick Juggernuggets. He's a much bigger YouTuber than I am. And I had the pleasure of hanging out with him at VidCon. He's been one of those, you know, internet celebrities that I'm a huge fan of, which is saying a lot because I don't follow a lot of internet personalities. You might have seen his videos because they're those videos that forward out on Facebook. People like send them out. And he did one this Thanksgiving where like the family fought over the dinner table, and it was this like legit without cutting away one shot fight where the table goes over and like dishes break. And
that's kind of fun.
It's insanely real. Like the whole family gets in on it. The
and
mom.
We've got grandpas and aunts.
And it's his real family, and they're all committed to these roles where they, you know, they play this alternate version of themselves on the internet, and it's so much fun because I think nowadays we escape through the realism of, you know, it's a shouting contest and we don't react to anything unless we believe it's real. And even if we know it's staged, they sell it to the point where it's like we're still enjoying this harmless, you know, fiction of watching a family fight. And their reactions are enough for me to suspend my disbelief. And so I get a huge high off of his. And I think he's actually nominated for a Streamy, at least one Streamy this year. So I'm very proud of him for that because I feel like he's – insanely under-recognized, despite how big of a channel he is. And so
that sounds super fun. I'm going to check out McJuggernuggets. McJuggernuggets.
Yeah. Which I don't know where that came from. I don't know the channel that well. He's insanely entertaining to watch.
So I wonder if the family is actually getting out some real beefs that they want to kind of work through during
these. They might have an unparalleled zen among them that we don't get with our families because we have to fight for real.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I feel like my family would be into, like, doing a mock fight.
Yeah. Really?
That'd be fun.
I mean, you know, my parents were both theater majors. Any excuse to get them acting, they would love. But also, like, I feel like because we don't fight, it would be hilarious.
It would be a little rigid effort.
Yeah. And maybe it would just be explosive, like all of this, like decades of inner rage that just comes out.
Might turn into
like,
a real, real storm.
They're like, cut the film. There's no film, but you know. What is your dream job or aspiration?
It's weird to say, but I'm literally doing it right now. I guess just doing this on a bigger scale, you know, if I can. But no, I in the last couple of years, almost like all of my dreams have come true. You know, I'm doing exactly. You know, I'm not just on a TV show, but I'm writing and directing, creating it. You know, I'm gonna get to produce a show, and it's a hell of a way to, you know, entered the industry because I've been trying to get in for like 10 years. And so to go from like zero to 100 so quickly, you know, there's the window of what I can be asking for is getting narrower and narrower every month.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I'm very blessed.
It's forcing you to just dream bigger, which is cool.
Right, right. You kind of have to like take a step back and like, okay, now what's the next?
What can I go?
Right.
We're going to finish these, but we want to hear all about the show after these all little right. questions here.
Okay, what's the weirdest thing you've ever been asked to do in Hollywood?
Oh gosh, the weirdest thing. There's a midget Mr. T on the Hollywood Boulevard, and I was doing a video there, and he asked if he could be in it, and I didn't have to write a script. He had a whole like narrative and backstory, and he gets on camera, and he's all, I guess we're enemies in this world that he's fabricated on camera.
Oh.
So that was probably the strangest thing, because he came out of nowhere, as they do, and he just kind of popped out and wanted to be in my video. I guess an old.
That's pretty good.
That's, I don't know. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's pretty clutch. I mean, it sounds like, as you know, Tiffany Haddish, she did a super funny, I don't know if anyone watched, but because I was at the VMAs, no big deal, but like
no big.
Up in the sky. She did she won, like where all the other writing was bad. She came in and did her thing and she was hilarious. And she was screaming basically at her ex-boyfriends, like, look at me now. I look good. I have
oh,
to.
Good.
And she was like, she ready. So it sounds like Mr. T was ready, you
he
know,
was.
Prepared for the moment.
And if he is ready, who am I to get to say no to Little T? Little T, I think that was his name, was Little T. And you can Google him. He's like a little celebrity on the Walk of Fame there.
It was his time.
It was his time.
He saw his moment. He went for it. Really
full confidence.
Really hard, you know, right?
And I got to admire that. Yeah.
I do too.
I like that.
Yeah. He's Little T as fuck.
Okay. Who do you think has the funniest Twitter account? Who's making you have like some giggles out there?
I don't go on Twitter too often. Instagram I'm on much more of.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of pretty silly Instagram accounts. I like to follow the models, even though they're not silly accounts by definition.
Right.
I find them quite humorous.
So you're saying there's models doing funny things on Instagram?
Well, it's funny because Instagram has always been kind of everyone kind of underground knows it as a place for particularly bad comedy. It's like particularly horrendous, horrendous comedy. And it's the models and Vine and ex-Viners that you see perpetuating this sort of, and it's hilarious because you watch it and I don't know if the audience is too daft to know that they deserve better or if they legitimately find humor in it.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you see guys like sexually harassing women and then the women go, oh, and their clothes fly off because the guy knows magic and that's the sketch and you know, it's.
I saw that one.
You know, it's like.
Yeah.
It's like there's. Yeah, exactly. There's a ton of them that fit that mold. And so it's a little. Instagram comedians are. I don't know, but you watch it and it's. I was always the kid who would stop at the, you know, soap opera channel when I was growing up and just watch it because I admired how. You know, it's like when you see a bad, like Sharknado
right.
or.
Campy. You like campy. Yeah.
You know, I feel like it takes a certain type of person to enjoy the terribleness in something. And when I. Instagram comedy is exactly that.
So I just have a question. When these Viners were on Vine, did you find, like, was that a good place for comedy?
There were a few Viners who I thought was really funny. Nicholas Magalis was a very funny Viner. I'm not sure what he's up to now, but there were some who were standout hilarious. But overall, Vine was not my, I was never really on Vine at all.
Okay. And then where would you go for the comedy?
Oh,
for good comedy.
Oh, I would go to the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory. I wouldn't find it on my phone, certainly. I wouldn't.
God bless.
That
answer suits me. I like it.
If you want to laugh at something, either know a show that you're very, very married to or know that's going to deliver a laugh or just go out and find. I think stand-up comedy is one of the greatest forms of finding a good laugh because you're never going to find that exact joke, hopefully, anywhere else. And, you know, it's. I feel like it's a more intimate thing. You're having to think. Stand-up forces you to use your imagination. When you watch the comedy told, you know, it's all being spelled out for you. And so I don't know. I know that I make videos, so I'm not one to say. But when I need a good laugh, I definitely prefer live entertainment over videos.
Cool. I don't know if this has happened to you guys. And this is comedy that belongs on the Instagram, what I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
Okay. So last night, I was watching Silicon Valley, which I hadn't seen. Have you guys watched?
So amazing. Oh,
so
I admit I have not seen
so
it.
So good.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing.
Of course.
Watching with a husband on my computer on the bed. He's laying on his head is on my hip.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
this is Instagram comedy now. I was laughing really hard, and I let out a giant fart that was so shocking. He jumped off the bed and ran to the other side of the room. Oh. And we were both crying laughing, and I was like, why did you run away? He said, I'm scared. Well, I said I was scared.
He was so close to the source.
He was so close, and it was so loud. And to have a laugh so hard and then a laugh bar, that's what Instagram – but you guys are laughing, so I don't know.
I think it's funny because the story went right where I was expecting it to go.
you basic bitch.
I don't know if you'd find that on Instagram because that would require the model to fart, and I don't think those models ever do.
Oh, got it. Well, good for them. I don't
think they're human.
We literally were like, this is like a new chapter in a marriage, and it's not a good one.
A new chapter.
All right. This is our last question of our five quick questions, which were not quick in any way, shape, or form.
I've enjoyed every second of them.
What's it like to be directed by James Franco?
Oh. It was extremely relieving because I have a certain way of directing that I'm often scrutinized for. I'm often made to feel like, oh, well, directors don't do this.
And for instance?
I write my scripts up until pretty much the actor says the line. I'm constantly changing and tweaking and tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. And it causes a lot of stress, you know, as anyone would know on a set. It just trickles downward and it's like, oh, we have to keep up with these changes now. Because I'm so used to working with just a few other people. Whereas you work on a big set and it's often frowned upon that, okay, now you made a script change. Now like five other departments have to go
right.
With Franco, he was like, not only was he making changes as we shot, but we did there was a scene where there was like a musical number and he added a verse. While we were shooting, like he was writing it, and I thought that was brilliant. That, you know, it shows that someone as great as Franco can, you know, still do what I've been feeling so ashamed of this whole time. You know, constantly tweaking this, because I feel like if you're in love with it, you're never going to set the script down and be like, it's done, that's it, that's final, let's shoot it in 10 months. You know,
right.
You're always until you shoot those pages, you're always going to be looking. Okay, how can I make this better? So that was cool. And he let me crowd surf, that wasn't in the script.
What is the project, by the way?
It was a Harry Potter – so he does a show called Making a Scene. I think it's on the Black Pills Network. And basically the premise of the show is they take two scenes from two well-known films and they have to mash them together. And it's the whole art of creating a scene with those limited resources. And so you see them from writing it to – you know, producing it, directing it, just showing the whole process of what it takes to make a scene from scratch. And so I was one of the actors who it was a mashup between the presidential election and Harry Potter. So I played Harry Potter, who is coming out as gay in this episode, and Donald Trump or Voldemort. It's like a weird mashup with Donald Trump with no nose comes in and ruins the whole thing and comes out with this song. And so it was a very strange shoot. It was even stranger when I got there, and I had a great time the entire time. It was just really fun. And I got a crowd surf. He let me crowd surf over a bunch of people, which
but
is
you're
a,
tall. That's a lot of man to
and
get
you know,
up
it's
there.
Crazy. He like demonstrated on like he's like, all right,
he
you're
manhandled
catch him.
You.
It was kind
delightful.
Of two bucket lists. In
okay,
one.
Yeah.
especially because
I think
wearing,
a lot of men want James Franco to handle them.
And he had me in a thong. And
ooh,
like nothing else. So I got to be.
So there was like maybe hand on butt.
Yes, there was. Well, I don't know about hand on butt. I don't know if he was on my butt. In that moment, I'm not registering anything other than James Franco's touching my bare naked body.
That's amazing. God bless.
I woke up next to Perez Hilton. There was a scene where I guess in a midget. I'm in between all these midgets that want me.
And by the way, I don't think we can say midget.
Oh, a little. Okay.
Because there are a lot of little people in your life. I do want to just give you a heads up. Just a heads up. You know what I mean, right?
If we bleep it out.
Little person.
If we bleeped it out, we were referring to a little person.
And that's fine. Look, we have to move in and bob and weave with these newfangled
times. It's true. It's going to get longer. It's going to be a tiny little, it's going to evolve.
Smallish person with a height challenge that would, I mean, we just have to,
Another little person.
Not little T.
Although they looked quite similar.
Good.
And Perez Hilton. I woke up in between the two of them.
That's a nightmare.
It was very strange. Yeah, I got a selfie while I was in it. It was pretty fun.
Did Perez like post anything?
It's funny. We shot the scene laying next to each other the entire time, and we were there. I want to say Perez and I were like laying next to each other. I want to say it was like a good 30 minutes straight between never spoke to me.
What an asshole.
Not once. I don't think, in all fairness, I wasn't really talking to him. I think I like nudged a couple times, like being like, oh, do you know what time it is? And I don't have my phone on me, clearly.
I'm sorry, but dude, come on now. That's a douchebag move. Yeah. It is.
I love how on my side you are.
Yeah, well, it's, come on.
Right. But it was fun. We had a great time. So that was my Franco
experience.
So
where will we find this piece? Is it up?
I believe it is out already. I haven't seen the entire thing all the way through. I've been a little hesitant to watch it. but it's on Black Pills is the name of the network. It's another digital media
network.
You've got
to comb through that www to find it. But we'll get there.
We'll get at it. We'll find it. Don't you worry.
Do we need to take a quick break?
I think we do.
We've been chatting for a while.
My mouth hurts.
Okay.
When we come back, maybe we'll talk some Shut Up Carol.
I would love that.
Get out of my face, Carol. What is it?
Yeah.
I like Get Out of My Face, Carol.
I do too.
We'll be right back.
How to be less old.
Here's something cool at Earwolf, a very special episode of Chris Gethard's podcast, Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People, with guest co-hosts who I am obsessed with, Katie Couric. You guys should be listening to her podcast, by the way.
Chris and Katie talk to a queer caller going through one of the most meaningful and stressful changes in their life. This call will really surprise you.
Beautiful Anonymous is the show where Chris Gethard takes anonymous phone calls. The show has been featured on This American Life, and it's really great.
So subscribe to Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
How to be less old!
And we're back with Brandon Rogers.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Sorry, and Emily Frieda Foster.
That's me.
And Deanna Chang, that's me.
Thank you.
We have a big burning question that, we have customers, we have listeners, and at I Can See Me Now has questions, and your youth, and here's the thing.
I'm youth.
We need your help.
Thank you. All right. I'll do my youthful best.
There's something out there in the interweb called Shut Up Carol.
Ah.
And we would like to know if you've heard of it.
I have heard of Shut Up Carol, but I am not. I've only heard it said. I don't know what the reference is to.
I
hear Shut Up Carol, quite frankly, and I just thought, Carol's just one of those names. You want to tell them to shut up. And
I'm like, she's a silly Sally or whatever. Yeah. So you feel like it's like that, like a Shut Up Carol.
I feel like if I had, so I know nothing about this meme, so I'm going to take a crack at what I think the meme is.
Good, and I'm pulling something up, so we'll figure it out together.
Now, this is just from guessing and hearing about memes and finding them out over and over. This is just my guess of what it's going to be.
Using your previous meme context that you've lived through to get us to this moment.
Exactly.
Thank God you have one, because I don't.
It's probably going to be very off, but I think it's worth a shot in the barrel. I think that Carol is either some sort of librarian or DMV technician.
Okay.
And someone like me, a youthful person, will tell her to shut up. I think that they're going to, something's going to be thrown at Carol, or Carol's going to throw something. That's usually how these things go. She gets told to shut up. Carol's not attractive. She's not attractive.
Tough.
Carol's going to be she's a librarian.
Okay.
All
right. Let's take a look. I love everything you've said. The idea of throwing something at a DMV technician is terrifying because they will kill you.
They would hop over that counter.
Hit you with their candy dish.
Yes. They're not.
Okay, so here's the origin, guys, brought to us by Know Your Meme. The character Carol first came into popular Twitter lexicon, followed by a tweet that read, "Old people coming for me like, You're too old to be tired. Well, okay, Carol, you're too old to be alive, yet here we are. And that tweet gained over 18,000 retweets and 19,000 likes. Old people coming for me like, you're too young to be tired. Well, okay, Carol, you're too old to be alive, yet here we are. Well, all right.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, why did that tweet take off like hotcakes?
I got you. Search me.
You don't know.
Couldn't tell you. It seems pretty basic.
I couldn't, but I think I was quite spot on with Carol. She sounds similar to the character that I conceived in my head.
You did great.
She's some sort of an administration, you know, librarian type, yeah. You know, his teacher figure.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And she's clearly, you know, she's old woman, you know.
Yeah.
Told her to shut up. Nothing was thrown. I was a little disappointed, but other than amazing insults, but.
Okay, so you did great. I want to, because now this may give us some more intel. There's from that tweet that people ate up for breakfast.
Okay, Carol.
Okay, Carol. it spawned other tweets. And we have one here like, I hate cashiers. That comment on what you bought. Oh, I'm sorry. I hate cashiers that comment on what you buy. Like, ooh, lettuce. Someone eats healthy. Shut up, Carol. Just scan it.
It's applicable.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you do one, Emily?
When you eat a massive meal and someone says, you won't need to eat for the rest of the day now. Shut up, Carol. I'll be hungry in an hour.
You know, we have to get better at life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't enough, people.
No.
It's
it started from a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently it took off while we were all sleeping. And now it's a thing? It's a meme? It's a what?
It's a fun way to tell people to shut up, I think.
Shut up, Carol.
I did a video a while back where I said, shut up. What did I say? Oh, I can't. We can't swear in here.
I can't?
Okay. I said, fuck off, Janet. I'm not going to your baby shower in a video. And that line, like.
Fuck off, Janet.
Just that.
Seems like something about the collaboration of like an old-timey name.
Well, it's like a mom name, unfortunately.
Yeah, like a mom name.
So it's like people getting angry at mothers.
It's a can I speak to your manager type name.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, yeah, I think. You're seeing that the generation from the, you know, 70s and 80s start to be – or the names from that, you know, that were very common back then, they're fun to throw in with a modern, you know, oopsie.
Wow.
It's like you could see this maybe in a scene straight out of Mick Jugger Nuggy videos.
Connor McNutt?
Jugger Nuggets.
Jugger Nuggets.
Obviously.
Like that's any more –
Brandon, sometimes during this podcast, we learn things that add to our lives.
Okay.
This has nothing. We brought this, you know, we're asking you this.
Okay.
This happened to have just taken from our lives. Okay. I feel less viable as a human being.
But the worst thing is, I feel like now that shut up, Carol, as a phrase is in my brain.
Go ahead.
It's going to come out.
Shit.
I think it will.
Which is frustrating because it means nothing. It's nothing.
Nothing has happened.
It's not even that creative because it could just shut up, Megan. Shut up, you know, Jan. You know,
it's nothing.
Linda. Like it's.
It's hard when something's nothing. Okay, right. So we discussed something in the intro. It's some things come to us.
They come.
However, they come.
It's coming.
A glitter tongue was brought to our attention.
Okay.
And attention must be paid.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Glitter on your tongue.
On your tongue.
So I could have it right now. You wouldn't even know because I have not shown you my tongue.
Tongue piercing.
Right. I don't.
Right.
Because that sounds unhygienic and scary to me.
Well, it's little bits of metal in your mouth.
That's correct. Here's some pictures.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a glitter tongue.
Sure it is. Sure.
So does the glitter – how does the glitter – is it like a gel that you dip your tongue
it's
in?
It's got to be a gel.
Because I don't see how that's not going all in between your teeth and, down your throat and everything.
It's coming out your poop, I'm assuming, because you're swallowing it.
You got to have great shit.
There was an Australian makeup artist, because we have to get to the origins of it all. She was doing this lip look and got glitter on her tongue. So she thought, I'm going to embrace it and make it a main focus. And then what happened, similar to Shut Up Carol, is other people were excited because they said, oh, my God, glitter in a new place because we've had it on our boobs and we've had it in our armpits and we've had it in our beards.
Yeah.
So they also dip their tongues in glitter. And the Daily Mirror has issued a warning.
Glitter is scratchy and abrasive, and it can carry bacteria. It really is inadvisable to cover your tongue in it. It's also not really monitored by the UK governing bodies, so it could be made from anything. Sorry to be a fun killer. AKA...
What fun is that, though?
Yeah.
Like, it's glitter on your tongue. When are you going to show that off? At what point during the party has it become acceptable? Oh, look at...
Right, you can't really talk. You're just waiting for the moment to expose it.
Which is why my assumption is that it's something that you do just for Instagram, just for the picture.
Just for the picture. You're not going to wear that to the bank. You're not going to go grocery shopping with glitter in your mouth.
You've never seen this out in the
I'm
wild.
Still waiting for glitter dick or glitter ass. The hole is much smaller.
Glitter dick is probably a lot more hygienic as long as you don't plan on putting it anywhere.
Right.
Oh, you got a whole slew of problems because you just coated it in, an army of metal pieces.
Right. Yeah, and that's not going in.
Stuff inside is deadly
inside
enough.
You
don't need an outside of metal shards.
That's not great.
Yeah.
One thing, I think we're going to play a little game here.
I think we are.
But
I think we are.
One thing I did want to make you aware of when I had gone on the field to the Video Music Awards was that seeing the Utes in their natural habitat. The people behind me were the best part of the show. They were so much better than Katy Perry, so much better than
They were excited.
They were excited. They were living. They were, like, having a moment.
Yeah.
There, when Pink gave her special speech about her daughter, which was so sweet, there was a woman behind me who I think that she was there with her kids, and she was feeling – by the way, we couldn't be higher up. We were bleacher creatures, we were up in the fucking bleachers. She was going, like – Yeah, she was like, yeah. Every time, like, Pink said something, she was like, say it. Mm-hmm. Like, she was feeling Pink and audibly expressing herself.
Rightfully so, yes.
Her daughter was singing a rap song that someone was performing on the stage, and her and her best friend were Instagramming themselves, singing it, but not looking at the stage. Mm. That's youths.
That's youths.
That's youths.
It's sad. It does. I don't want to sound like an old. It does. I mean, I'm in a weird age. I'm not quite that, I'm not quite the YouTube generation, but I'm also definitely not. I'm in a weird middle zone.
Yeah.
So I can relate to both sides. But on this, I'm going to have to say, that I don't understand living vicariously. On one hand, it's great because you get to keep the moment forever. But it's like you never lived it.
Right.
Keeping something that you weren't a part of. And it's weird. It's like, what do? You live it once greatly, in person with your own two eyes, or are you able to watch it for another 10 years on, half quality? So it's weird. But I don't know. I think everything in moderation is great.
Sure.
Content in moderation is great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's Alzheimer's because if there wasn't, I guess there is that. It's like, look. You may forget it all. You know what I mean? If you haven't recorded it.
But this is whatever. Yeah. But it's like, remember before Google Maps, had to know where you were going.
Right.
And now that you have the maps, you don't have to know anymore.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to pay attention in the same way. Mm-hmm. So you're not using that muscle in the same way. And I feel like if you wanted to remember and to actually experience, you could. Or you could convince yourself that you're doing it in this new, great way by saving everything and capturing the moments.
Yeah.
But you're not really.
Right.
Oof, I know.
Right. It's hard. It sucks. And then it just – not to mention, you just look like an asshole.
You do.
You just look like an asshole. When you're at a concert and you're – if that screen isn't facing the artist –
Yeah.
If you're not waving that phone back and forth, that screen's facing you. Everyone's looking at your dumb, ugly face because it's being lit horribly from the bottom. And that's all you see is just a sea of people enjoying a concert and then someone with just all their rolls lit from underneath looking at their phone.
If that's not a good reason not to do it, I don't know what is.
Just know what you look like alone.
All right. We are going to play a game with you, and it's called Are You an Old Person in a Young Person's Body?
Okay, so you're just going to say yay or nay. We're going to power through these really quickly,
right.
Okay? No pressure. Are you Are you always cold?
Nay.
Oh. Do you usually bring a hoodie with you wherever you go just in case?
Yay.
Oh. Yeah. Does the thought of buying a new vacuum cleaner bring you joy?
Nay.
Do you get genuinely excited when a House Hunters marathon is on?
Nay.
Do you get genuinely upset when someone says on House Hunters that they don't like the color of the walls?
Sometimes.
Ooh.
Do you have a lot of feelings about House Hunters in general?
House Haunters or Hunters?
Hunters, sorry.
No.
Have you ever thought about living in a tiny house?
Yes.
Ooh. Were you excited that there were 5 whole questions about HGTV shows?
I was ecstatic about them.
Have you seen a matinee in the past year?
I have.
Oh. Do you have an extensive collection of tote bags?
I do.
Do you bring your own bags with you when you go grocery shopping?
I do.
Do you often find yourself struggling to decide whether or not you should read a book or take a nap?
No.
Are you the mom of your friend group?
No.
Do you love Tupperware?
Yay.
Are you truly interested in oil pulling?
Oil pulling?
No. That will take that as a no, but you should be.
Do you dream of owning a Vitamix?
No, but I'd love to hear more about it.
We're going to skip a couple of these, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go down to, do you have a cat or a dog?
Cat. But I like dogs, hate cats. Cat was happenstance.
Do you talk to your cat or dog? Talk to your cat or dog?
Yes.
Do you prefer your cat or dog to actual human beings?
No.
Do you have a favorite Starbucks seasonal drink?
Salted caramel hot chocolate December.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be cool to learn how to make some scones?
No.
Do you really want to learn how to cross stitch?
I realize there's only one option for really. I'll give it a shot, yeah.
Oh.
Do you dream of being on Antiques Roadshow?
No.
Do your joints ache?
No.
Do you DVR shows that start at 10 because you're worried you'll fall asleep and miss them?
No.
And last but not least, do you get excited for sweater season?
I do.
Okay.
Was that the game?
You're not old.
You're not old.
You're not
old. Oh, I forgot what we were interviewing me for. That's right. Okay, good.
You're not old.
Good. Wow.
You're not old.
What arbitrary question.
Deanna, yeah. Did you take this quiz?
No.
Oh, I did.
And?
I got middle-aged. It felt bad.
See, I feel like my
age. I don't want to take it.
It felt bad.
I don't want to take it.
Because there were a lot. I was like, nope. Oh, you know, like, and I thought I was going to be young. I'm not.
See, I thought I was going to be old, but I don't think those questions highlight why I feel like an old person. I feel like
it, why do you feel like an old person?
I'm extremely cynical, in the way that an old person is classified to be cynical.
Okay,
and it's more of my philosophy. I just feel like I'm among this crowd who's like a few years younger than me, but there's a lot of them. But yet I'm a YouTuber, so the crowd slightly older than me doesn't take me seriously. So I'm in a weird age limbo of, you know, the internet came out when I was in middle school. You know, and that's the age now that's really dominating it. And so it's like that for me, that was like 15 years ago, you know, so I'm like 10, 15 years past the prime YouTube Insta market today.
It is a weird spot to be in.
It is.
I don't envy that spot.
It is weird because all your references are, you know, I spend more time on social media, it seems, than I do with most of my friends. And it's like all my references are all Kitsch Young, you know, Shut Up Carol types.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, if you look at every decade, right? Every decade had such cool slang to it, didn't it? You know, the 50s had cool. Yeah,
right.
Come on, man. The 70s, the 80s had amazing slang.
So there.
The
Gag
90s.
Me with a spoon.
You know? And then we come to today. Shut up, Carol.
Yeah, but we've got a lot of great ones. We have Turned Up. We have.
Is Turned Up really that great, though?
It's pretty great.
Turned Up?
Yeah,
I'm Turned Up.
I enjoy that.
Lit.
We have.
I only like Lit because can I say that I smoke marijuana or do we got to edit?
No, you're good.
Okay, we're good. Okay. That's the only reason I say Lit. I mean, it's none of the slang today. It's like it just seems like back in the 60s and 70s, you had like expressions that had wit and punchlines to it. And like I can't think of any off the top of my head right now. But you always hear like your uncle being like, well, I'm 3-piece pork of an Alabama Mississippi. You know, it's like
3-piece pork.
I don't know.
It's that actually,
I like 3-piece pork. Let's bring it back.
Funny that you bring that up because on the way here, I was trying to remember saying. And I was like, Deanna, I feel like it broke the ballast. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm saying.
I know, but I liked it. And yeah, I mean, there's things like my dad would always say, oh, shit.
My dad said that a lot, too.
Oh, shit. That's a great one.
It is. It'll never get old.
Oh, God. Forget it.
Forget it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing out on good slang today. Maybe it's going under my radar.
What about Bye Felicia? If it's an oldie that came back in a new way.
Bye Felicia. I like
Bye Felicia is Shut Up Carol in a different arena. Yeah,
but exactly. Bye Felicia phonetically, that just rolls off the tongue so much nicer than Shut Up Carol.
Yeah.
What is that?
Truth.
Bye
Truth.
Felicia.
All right, Brandon, we're wrapping up.
We did it.
Can you leave us with a tidbit about your show? Can we just tell us where to go, what we're going to get into when we do, you know, make our way to the Magic Funhouse?
Just go into it with no expect. I mean, it's not a show that I can say is like any other, so I can't say like, oh, it's one of those shows where – no, it's just an insane show where it's very two-dimensional. Its only responsibility is to entertain you.
Right.
It's not going to try and preach a message. It's not going to try and, you know, have a good moral. It's not even a good hero. None of the characters are good. It's just sheer entertainment. You don't have to think too much to get. And it has a mythology of characters that I'm very married to, and I think there's a lot more substance beneath it. But I think if you're just looking for a good, quick laugh, then there's two seasons of it. The first season you can find on iTunes and a few other places, and season two is now on full screen.
Okay.
So
amazing. Yeah.
And we can catch, like, if you want, like, a little taster, we can catch that on YouTube, right?
There's all sorts of things on YouTube. There's, like, random clips that we shot just for YouTube with the characters. The first episode is on there. There's a few trailers. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube. So if you want to get an idea of what the show is before getting a membership, you'll know what you're getting into if you just YouTube it.
And we go to your
Yeah, you can just go to YouTube and just type in Magic Funhouse, and there's all sorts of videos about the show. So I try and make it as easy for anyone to determine whether or not they want to watch it further. Because I think the show sells itself.
Awesome. I love it. It's really fun.
And you're on Twitter at Brandon Loves You.
Brandon Loves You. Yeah, my main platform is Instagram, Brandon Bored. Not quite as an optimistic name, but.
There goes the cynicism, right?
Right.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I had a great time.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Bye.
Bye.
How to be less old.
Okay, so we had Brandon Rogers. We learned what? A couple things.
Shut Up Carol.
Exhausting.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Except for I'll say it later today and hate myself.
Which is so upsetting to have learned and to have lost.
Lost.
We've lost. Yeah. We've lost a lot.
And then we had Glitter Tongues.
Which is another hard pass.
Staging for the gram.
Yeah.
What else did we get?
Well, we learned that... you know, you should go see Brandon's show,
Magic Funhouse on full screen.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned about.
We learned that at the VMAs, you know, sometimes what happens is that people will just take pictures of themselves and videos of themselves while the artist is there doing whatever they're doing, you know.
It's not right.
We learned that we are both. Cooler than Katy Perry.
Thank you for including me.
Yeah, girl. Everybody in this room, Sam included. I mean, Sam's obviously cooler than Katy Perry, but like, you know, we all are, you know.
It feels right. What about T. Swift?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Okay, I've spent some of my own time looking at the T. Swift video and also the Katy Perry Swish Swish.
Right.
You know how we have talked swish bish. We have talked about her SNL performance, which was abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
And the video is a half step come up from the SNL performance, but a half.
Right.
It is so fucking literal. Like, and the VMA last performance was her with a basketball. I mean, come on, girl. Like, I actually, when that song came on the radio, I would kind of bop to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what she's done with the product.
She, like, made it uncool.
She has removed my interest.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's tough.
Yeah. But so you think T-Swift, based on her video, is cooler?
I think she won this round.
Okay.
You know, I think T-Swift, you know, she had a major moment with winning her $1 for countersuit,
sure,
which was awesome. And then her video is way better. Her video is better
okay.
than Katy Perry's video. I think Katy Perry's song may be better, like in terms of like enjoyment.
Yeah.
I don't really care for the Taylor Swift song.
I'm not into the song. And I quite frankly, I wasn't into the video, but that's okay.
Well, I think there was like a BuzzFeed article that really broke down every single little like nugget in there. Like there was the $1 bill in the bath. I mean, it kind of referenced her whole career.
Yeah.
And for that, I mean, I think it's more clever and like just a little more interesting and less full on basic than the Katy Perry one.
Than a basketball.
Right. Yeah. And Katy Perry's trying to be funny, which is not her homegirl's lane.
Yeah.
So I feel like Taylor Swift is moving.
She knows herself maybe a little better.
I think
so. At
this point.
She might.
She's trying a little something different, and I think it worked better than what Katy did. I mean, at the end of the day, they're both probably nice, simple girls who really don't belong in the arena of, like, slamming each other. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's probably not the right thing for either of them.
Right.
It's like, let's not do that because, like, you know, Nicki Minaj can come for you, and it's more successful.
Right.
Like, these two coming for each other, it's not working out.
Right. Right.
So
it's a little boring.
It's just a little vanilla.
Okay. So we want to give a little shout out to our friend Angel Fish, who went to iTunes, gave us 5 stars, and left us this beautiful comment that says, "I can't get enough of these ladies. I am a longtime listener and always look forward to a new episode. Keep on keeping less old." Hashtag 40 is the new black.
How cute.
Thank you so much.
Love that. Thank you. And if you haven't, given us a review yet, march yourself over to Apple Podcasts and look for How to Be Less Old and just give, you know, five stars probably, and then write a little comment because we like that, and then we'll talk about it. I am Deanna Chang at Deanna M. Chang.
I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster, and we are How to Be Less Old at HTBLO.
Everywhere. Sam, thank you so much for being our engineer. He gave us a fist bump, which we will take. And that's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandon. Bye. Rogers.
How to be less old.
Hey, I'm Brian Safi.
And I'm Erin Gibson, and our show Throwing Shade just moved to Earwolf.
We take a look at women's issues and LGBT issues and make them real stupid.
We make them real dumb. You'll be very insulted by what we have to say. And we have great guests, so come listen to us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app.
We also talk about clip-on earrings a lot, where to get a great facial.
And wigs.
And a lot of wigs.
It's everything you asked for and nothing you asked for.
All in the same package.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.